showers, high about 42. Then Friday, periods of rain in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy, high near 42 degrees. So the milder than average weather is going to continue. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA.
When some loud bragger tries to put me...
No, I don't want to do that. And we're off to a fast start, ladies and gentlemen. Right now in Kenosha, it is cloudy and 34. Cloudy at the Municipal Airport and 36 degrees. At Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, it's cloudy and 35. And at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine, cloudy skies at WRJ and 34 degrees. A bit windy out there out of the west at 9, gusting up to 18 miles an hour, giving us a wind chill index of 27. The dew point is at freezing, the relative humidity 92%, and the barometric pressure is steady Eddie at 30.11. It is 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for Hump Day, Wednesday, January 18th, 2017, the only 1-18-2-0-17 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great day. And as is our want on this quality radio station, to stir it up, here's Johnny Nash on your radio friend.
He's thought-provoking and a whole lot of other things, too. Glenn Klein, 9 till 2, right here on WRJN.
Is she really going out with him?
Well, there she is. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, it must be great riding with him. Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where'd you meet him? We see.
That's when I fell for
the leader of the pack.
My folks were always putting him down.
Down.
Remembering all the things we've been through. In school they all stop and stare. I can't have her tears.
Of the pack. On your radio leader, your radio friend, Shangri-La's on a hump day morning, 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, Glenn Klein, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable package in the studio, along with, speaking of the pack, former Green Bay Packer tight end and the founder of VideoScore. Please welcome to Community Conversations, Mr. Daryl Ingram. Good morning, Mr. Ingram.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me on the show. I look forward to our discussion.
Even after meeting me?
Even after meeting you. Still. Still and yet.
So you were a Packer for a couple of years.
Yeah, I came to the Packers, was fortunate enough to come here in 1992, played that whole season. That was, for the fans that can remember, that was Brett Favre's first year, also Coach Mike Holmgren's first year, and Ron Wolf's first year. I was one of their free agents that they signed early in 92, and then went to camp in 93. Initially, I was waived, but then I got brought back later in the season and played throughout the playoffs.
Where were you before the Packers?
I was with Cleveland for a partial season, and I was drafted by the Vikings. So I was drafted in 89 and played for the Vikings. And thought I would be a Viking forever. That's just kind of the way it was back then because there really wasn't free agency. They were just sort of starting what they called Plan B free agency at the time, a restrictive free agency. And then really football sort of exploded with the Reggie White signing here in Green Bay. That was really the first true free agent signing. And obviously the game has changed tremendously since then.
Who was the coach of the Vikings when you were there?
Jerry Burns was the head
Jerry
coach.
Jerry Burns.
Yeah, yeah.
And he took over for Bud Grant,
didn't he? He took over for Bud, yeah.
Yeah, Bud Grant used to wear the shirt sleeves out in the freezing cold at old Metropolitan Stadium. That guy was whacked, wasn't he?
Well, he ended up being a pretty good coach, and he had some great teams. They never were able to finish, of course, and to the chagrin of many Viking fans. But that's a great era of football. That's an era of football that I grew up in as a kid, and so, you know, I have a young son now. He's football crazy. He's 9 years old. And I love football differently. I love it as a father. But I remember being a kid and doing some of the same things that my son does, walking around the house with a football, throwing it up in the air and catching it, watching the games, being really upset when my team would lose. My team back then, growing up in California, I was an Oakland Raider fan. So I remember the Immaculate Reception, I should say, quite well as a six-year-old kid being really upset that my Raiders lost to the Steelers. So, and I remember the great teams of the 70s of the Steelers and Franco Harrison, Rocky Blyer, and Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, and, you know, Mel Blount and Jack Lambert and all those great players. And I have a recollection, pretty good recollection of all the old great Raider players as well. So that was a great time growing up in the 70s and watching football.
The Immaculate Reception, Franco Harris picking the ball right off the turf, might have touched a blade of grass or the AstroTurf at old Three Rivers Stadium.
Depends on if you're a Raiders fan, if you're a Steelers fan. If you're a Raiders fan, he was on the ground, you know, for sure.
I know that it happened on December 23rd, 1972, because it happened at my bar mitzvah party in Chicago.
Fantastic.
We were watching it in the bar.
That's fantastic. That's a great memory for you. That's great, yeah. So 13 years old and having a bar mitzvah and watching great football, legendary football. That's fantastic.
Steel Curtain.
Yeah.
Jack Lambert. Mean Joe Green. That's when football was football.
Yeah, they say that. So I was actually talking to one of my guys that works for me, and we coached together years ago in high school football, and we were talking about the targeting rule that's in college football. And we were looking at some film, old film, where we were saying, well, that would have been targeting today. That's a targeting rule. And I said, well, you know, we played when men were men, man. That was football back then. There was no such thing as targeting, you know. So the game has evolved in that way as well, and it evolves for the protection of the athlete. I totally understand it. But it, I think it can go a little bit too far sometimes. So I see some of these kids getting hit in college games, and to me, it's football, but now it's a penalty, and you get ejected from the game. So, interesting.
I played high school football at Maine Township High School East in Park Ridge, Illinois. Also the high school of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Thought we were going to get a president out of the deal, but not so fast. But my freshman coach was a guy named Don Prezern. And when you go through 2 days the first time, you just want to die. I mean, you just can't believe. And in those days, they wouldn't let us drink water. We would meet it in Park Ridge, right across the street from Lutheran General Hospital, the big practice facility there. Acres of field they have at Maine East. And we would wipe the dew off the grass and put it to our tongues because we were so thirsty. They thought that if you drank, you drank water, you would be weaker. I remember wanting, as we were running laps around the goalpost, just to trip and break my arm and have it be done with. But Coach Prezern would encourage us. He was a great motivator. He would say, gentlemen, millions of people play football in the United States every day, and hardly anybody ever dies. That was very uplifting. We went undefeated, though, our freshman year.
That's interesting. That also has evolved. That thinking has evolved, right? And it probably evolved when people started dropping dead on the football field. And yeah, the mental toughness it takes to play football is there's no comparison.
Oh, it was the most physically demanding thing I ever did in my life, for sure.
It's very precise. But in watching the Packer game the other day with some friends, they were commenting on, they were asking me if I wore sleeves when it was cold. Did I wear sleeves? And I said, absolutely. I have nothing to prove. I don't have to prove I'm tough.
You weren't a Bud Grant disciple?
No. I want to be as warm as possible. I'm a California kid who's in the Midwest playing football. Absolutely, I wore sleeves and anything else that they would give me. And so here's a probably a little known, Glenn, you may know this, but most fans today don't. So this is before Under Armour. This is before the dry fit tights that Nike makes. This is before all of that. So what we had to wear under our pants were control top pantyhose. And you'd come in and you'd get a pair of control top pantyhose. They all were queen size, right? Because you got bigger guys.
Queen size. That's not king size. Joe Namath did a commercial for pantyhose.
Yeah. But I don't think he was. He probably was wearing them under his pants as well. But you'd cut the feet out, of course, and you would put these underneath your pants. And so there's something about the fabric in control top, I guess, that made your blood circulate that kept you warm or attempted to keep you warm better than going out there with nothing else under. Now there's technology has evolved, and there's all these great things that even kids can wear when they play. But back then it was control top pantyhose.
He is Daryl Ingram, former Green Bay Packer and the founder of Video Score. California guy, went to UC Berkeley, the Bears.
Go Bears.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up in Cali?
I grew up, the first 8 years of my life, I grew up in the Bay Area. And really, that was 1966 to 1974. So, all of the historical things that happened, the free speech movement at Berkeley in the late 60s and the Black Panther Party in the Bay Area. The Haight-Ashbury, we were just coming out of that. So I, as a young kid, some of my parents' friends were actual real hippies. I got to see that. And I got to see that sort of that culture early in my life. And then, the Patty Hearst, all that, the kidnapping and all that, I remember that quite well as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid. Then after 74, we moved to Southern California, just north of Los Angeles.
Whereabouts?
It's a town, a little city called Valencia. It's sure. A bigger town is known as Santa Clarita. It's the Santa Clarita Valley. When we were growing up, there were some distinct little towns, but now they have cityhood under Santa Clarita banner, if you will. So I was there for 10 years. Great place to grow up. And then, but always wanted to go to Berkeley. And so when the chance came for me to go, I went. I was very fortunate. My company right now, we help kids transition from playing high school sports to playing college sports. So we do a lot of recruiting and scouting and all that. But I was one of the kids who actually got to go to his first choice. And Cal is in the Pac, was in the Pac-10 then. It's the Pac-12 now. We play against UCLA, USC, Stanford, and Washington State, and the other schools in the Pac-12. Great campus, great place to go to school.
More radical, you think, back in the 60s and early 70s, Berkeley or Madison?
When I go to Madison, and this is all I have to judge it on, when I've been to Madison, I feel like I'm at home at Berkeley. Berkeley was everyone knows Berkeley was radical in the late 60s and into the 70s. When I was at school in the early mid to late 80s, it was not radical, not nothing like it was had been previously in the 60s, but still a liberal part of the country, a liberal part of America, where and that's typical for the Bay Area. And it's just a great part of our country, and I think that...
You ever see the Grateful Dead?
Of course. The Grateful Dead was in Berkeley every summer. So it smelled like sweat and patchouli all summer in Berkeley.
that's one way of saying it.
When the Dead was there. But that was a great tradition to, for Jerry Garcia and the guys that come to Berkeley every summer?
I probably saw The Dead 40 times.
So would you consider yourself a deadhead?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
The answer to your yes or no question is Sugar Magnolias, baby.
Absolutely.
It is 9:30. He's Daryl Ingram, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, currently of Video Score. We are going to continue our community conversation on the other side of another potentially award-winning newscast from the great Tom Carco. But first, let us get over those winter blahs and the holiday hangover with the beautiful humans from Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino.
Winter blahs setting in. Holiday hangover hitting your pocketbook.
RJN AccuWeather forecast. The overall weather pattern favors mildness through the coming weekend and early next week. Flow is coming in from the Pacific. The air is blocked from coming anywhere from northwest Canada for a while. That could change late next week, but not till then. Today, a mixture of clouds and sun for the midday and afternoons. Low clouds this morning, high 42. Partly cloudy tonight, low 33. Tomorrow, clouds and sunshine. Little rain in the afternoon, high 42. Then for Friday, maybe a little rain in the morning, shower in the afternoon, high temperature 42. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Kenosha right now, it's 34 degrees, 36 in Burlington, Milwaukee 35, 34 in Racine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
You never ate your brat, did you?
I was busy.
So the answer is no.
It smelled good, though. Everything smelled real good. Even sounded good.
I heard you play that clip earlier with Clemens. I know you didn't because I saved you one, and it was in the refrigerator this morning. That's what I had for breakfast.
Well, it's all right.
A Danny's meat brat
well,
for breakfast.
Well, as long as somebody had it, right? That's the main thing.
Kenosha County Executive Jim Cruiser seemed pleased with his big win. We bet on the Bears-Packers game. And we had County Executive from Racine, Jonathan Delagrave in.
Mm-hmm.
God, that was good.
Yeah, like I said, it sounded like it.
Well, we've got the big game Sunday. We've got Daryl Ingram, the former Packers tight end, in with us. Did you notice him?
Yes.
He's a fairly imposing individual,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes, sir.
So here's the thing, Daryl. My cousin Zach Klein is the sports anchor on the Atlanta ABC affiliate, Channel 2. And he definitely got the face for TV. I got the face for radio in the Klein family. But he's a Chicago kid, does a great job down there in Atlanta. So I bet Kenosha County Executive Cruiser a bratwurst for the Bears-Packers Thursday night game, and the Packers won. I took the Bears. I'm a Packer fan, but I'm a Bear fan forever.
Understood.
I'm not a hater.
Understood.
And I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. So now the question is, I bet a bratwurst. That was a logical bet here in Wisconsin. But I'm going to place a bet with my cousin, who will hopefully be on this program on Friday. What do I bet him, and what is there in Atlanta? You played in Atlanta. What is there in Atlanta that could measure up to a Wisconsin brat or Wisconsin cheese or Wisconsin brew? I can't think of a thing that I would want from Georgia.
Peaches.
Yeah, but how many peaches can you eat? They don't keep. I could share them with my friends at your radio friend.
Peach pie.
Peach pie.
Peach turnovers. Peach ice cream.
Peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler.
That's what you do. A peach cobbler from Georgia.
There you go.
It will be delicious, especially when the Packers beat the Dirty Birds.
From Wisconsin Radio Network Sports, this is the Title Town Report.
Till later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
Want to give your mind a thrill ride? Fasten your metal seatbelt, then gently turn up your radio from 9 till 2. Glenn Klein will be on WRJN. And chances are, your life will never be the same.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Deb Carson.
Message from Dr. Lon Whitlow, an expert in dairy feed and animal health, has been brought to you by Phibro Animal Health Corporation, the makers of Omnigen AF and AB20.
16 minutes until 10 o'clock on a hump day morning. We taking notes on that last commercial? Have any experience with some dairy feed issues?
Not today.
Not really?
Yeah, not today.
My wife, Dawn, was from a dairy farm, so I got to spend some time at the farm in Edgerton. You married?
I am married.
What's your wife's name?
My beautiful wife's name is Melissa, and her birthday is today.
Really?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Melissa. How old is she?
She would not want me to share that, I'm sure.
She wouldn't?
I think that's for private consumption. I don't think that anybody else needs to know
that.
All right,
we can figure this out. How long have you been married?
I've been married for 2 years.
Okay, so this is a new Mrs. Ingram.
She's new as of 2 years ago.
All right, well, when did she graduate from high school?
It reminds me of Dave Chappelle saying, fifth, I'll take the fifth. So
you're a smart man, and I was married for 20 years to Dawn, and then we got divorced, then we got back together, and now we are happily divorced. But my best friend.
Whatever works, I mean, I think that...
We love each other. We just ought not live together.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to do that. Yeah.
I ought not live with anybody, I figured out. But I've got a great date night idea for the birthday girl.
Sure.
Go to the Racine Theater Guild.
Okay.
They've got a very funny comedy, Exit Laughing. It's running all the weekends for this month. Here's the story. Connie, Leona, Millie, and Mary have been bridge partners for years. And then when Mary passes away, the three remaining friends do what's logical. They steal Mary's urn. Not exactly sure what they do with Mary's urn. Don't know if they do what Keith Richards did with his dad's ashes or not, but that's when the hilarity ensues, when they steal Mary's urn. Exit Laughing, a comedy about friendship, loss, and living life to the fullest. Go to racinetheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
That sounds fun. I actually will look into that because we enjoy going to see shows. The last show that we saw was with Bill McReynolds, actually, and Bill, and who's a former county executive, former sheriff here in Racine, we went to see the Rat Pack up in Milwaukee. It was a great show, interesting show.
Oh, I bet that was really good.
Yeah.
Who else do you like besides Dave Chappelle for comics?
I think Louis C.K. is brilliant.
He is a genius, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's brilliant, and his comedy is really funny.
And smart.
Yeah. Really smart comedy. There are a number of others, and I don't listen to a lot of comedy or see a lot of it, but the guys that rise to that level, there's timing to all of that, and there's an intelligence to that most of us just don't have. And it's
you have
got
to be a really excellent observer of life to be a good comic.
Yes,
because the funniest things are real things.
Right.
True to life things.
So to that point, so you're talking, really, that's the whole Jerry Seinfeld show, right? Just a goofy show about nothing. So I have an interesting story. When I was a Minnesota Viking back in 1989, 1990, I got invited to travel to Alaska as a Viking. A lot of Minnesota Viking fans in Alaska. I went to Fairbanks, Alaska.
You went from balmy Minneapolis to balmy
Actually,
Alaska?
I was in beautiful Southern California in off-season. Uh-huh. I went up there at Easter time and took my girlfriend at the time, and we went to a comedy show. And the person that we saw performing, who was unknown at the time, who said he was going to have a forthcoming show on NBC, was Jerry Seinfeld. And no one knew who he was, but we got to see him, and he was hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. Dawn and I actually saw him in Tampa after the show. He's going to be in Milwaukee coming up here pretty quick.
Is he? Yeah.
You know who's really funny, who he plays clean? This guy, Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan's great,
I mean, he is laugh out loud
and
funny.
Is he a Chicago kid, I think?
I don't know if he's a Chicago
kid.
Okay,
he's a funny guy, yeah.
You ever see a Seinfeld show online called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
I have, once or twice. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
He did a thing with President Obama that was, I highly recommend it. So funny. And say what you will about the 44th president of this country, the man has tremendous comedic timing.
Yes.
He's got great presence.
Well, he's got that intelligence to be able to understand what people are talking about. So, yeah.
I was very happy to see him feed my Chicago Cubs at the White House the other day.
That's great.
You a Cubs fan?
Yeah. So after I finished playing football in Green Bay, I moved to Chicago.
Did?
Yeah. So I lived in Chicago from 1993 to 2000, and I was a Cubs fan. And if you are a sports fan in general or a baseball fan at all, you have to be happy for the Cubs. I mean, come on, 108 years?
You've got to be a real White Sox hater of the Cubs fan.
Yeah, to not appreciate it.
That's
right.
About it.
Right. And then if you...
There were White Sox fans going to sports paraphernalia and memorabilia shops on the South Side that were selling Cleveland Indian stuff during the World Series. They got to get a grip.
Jeez.
He's Daryl Ingram. He's a former Green Bay Packer, went to Cal. He is also the founder of Video Score. So UC Berkeley, the Bears, mm-hmm. got a connection there too. Very good friend of my dad's, Marv Levy, former head coach of UC Berkeley, and of course went on to great things with the Buffalo Bills and NFL Hall of Famer. He's been on this radio program. And he helped turn around initially that program at Berkeley.
Yeah, so here's my input about, an anecdote about Marv Levy and the Bills. So my freshman year at Cal, my quarterback was a guy named Gail Gilbert. And Gail was a senior at the time. Gail left. He ended up being on the Buffalo Bills. So Gail was on the Buffalo Bills all 4 years that they went to the Super Bowl and lost.
Yeah.
He was the backup quarterback to Jim Kelly.
Right.
Then the following year, he got released from the Bills and he went to the Chargers. And then the Chargers went to the Super Bowl and lost to the 49ers. So Gail Gilbert, my old college teammate, played in or was associated with 5 Super Bowls in a row on the losing end.
Wow. Right?
That's got to be an answer to some trivia question. It's unbelievable.
It just was. Now, you also were at Cleveland with the Browns. That was before they moved to Baltimore, correct?
Yeah, that was before they became the Ravens. So it's the original Browns.
You talk about a tough luck group of football fans. Here they are suffering, never doing much of anything. The John Elway, the fumble. I mean, it's all that stuff that happened. Then they go in the dead of night from Cleveland to Art Modell, moves them to Baltimore. And then they win the Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Then they go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, right? So
Jesus.
And the fans there are, you know, gritty, hardworking, great middle American fans, and they just have been dealt a tough hand. They really have.
And that is a brutal franchise. What did they do to their uniforms? Oh, my God.
The uniforms have always been.
No, but what they did to them, they were fine. Jim Brown wore those uniforms. Leroy Kelly, Brian Sipe.
Daryl Ingram.
Ingram.
And they were ugly when Daryl Ingram
they
wore
were
them.
Ugly, but now they're just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're
they got to get their act together. They really do.
I mean, Seattle made a great transition to their uniforms, right? Those are sharp. The new Seattle stuff based on what they had when they started in 76.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, the Dreamsicle uniforms.
But now the Bucks, the new uniforms that they changed to from their Super Bowl winning uniforms, horrific.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a Buccaneers fan. Yeah. I spent 21 years in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but better than the Dreamsicle orange, you'd say.
Yes.
Okay.
But the Buccaneers have the distinction of having the only gay mascot in professional sports history, Buccaneer Bruce, the winking pirate. He is Daryl Ingram. He is a former Green Bay Packer. We haven't even talked about the game yet, coming up this Sunday against the vaunted Atlanta Falcons. He's also the founder of Video Score. Explain to the beautiful humans what Video Score is, what your vision is for it, and why you decided to do it.
Video Score is a company that helps kids and parents. We act as an advocate for our client families for kids that want to play sports in college. So a kid like me, when I came out, I didn't need this type of help because I was highly recruited. And so the top kids that play sports in college, it's only 6% that play Division I. And that's across all sports. For football, it's less than 1%. And so a kid like me didn't need this help, but most kids do. They need some sort of help. And then with the rising cost of tuition and college and all of that, this is playing sports is a viable option to be able to offset some of that cost. So if your kid has talent and you think your kid has talent, excuse me, and you want to help your kid play sports in college, we do that through our relationships and our connections and our experience of being athletes for the last 30 years. We're able to help kids find spots in college. So we're hired by the parents to do that. The original vision came out when I was playing in college, and I had teammates in high school who couldn't play at Cal but could have played somewhere if somebody knew who they were. And then also the schools that that need the help because they don't necessarily have the financial wherewithal to go out and recruit across the country like Madison would or Notre Dame would or my school Cal Berkeley would. And so there are other schools that want winning to win, that want talent, but can't necessarily afford to recruit it outside of their local geographical area. So we bridge the gap between the two.
What a great idea. Daryl's website is videoscoresports.com. And I would imagine that to get young players' resumes, if you will, in front of potential schools, you've got to use some significant creativity.
Well, I mean, we get their transcripts, we get their test scores, because obviously those are vital to them being admitted into the school. We also get their film, and there's some other data that we're looking to use in the future to be able to tell a complete picture of a particular kid to help him along his way in getting admitted to the school from an academic standpoint, but also being invited to be a member of the team athletically. So there's some standard processes that you go through, and we look to expand upon that, but there's some standard things we do.
Now, you were a Southern California guy and played in the Midwest with the Browns and the Vikings and then the Packers. You could have gone back to California, but instead you stayed in the Midwest. Why?
Well, in fact, I did go back to California. So I'd mentioned earlier I'd moved to Chicago after playing in Green Bay. In 2000, I went back to California, and I went to San Diego, and I was there almost 3 years. Late 2003, I moved back to the Midwest, and the reason was I just had become accustomed to how people were in the Midwest. I find it to be easier to live here. I think people are more friendly, and it's just a better environment, and it's a great environment to raise my son.
Well, coincidentally, our leadoff hitter here on this quality radio station, WRJN, Mike Clemens, spoke to Dallas Cowboys coach Garrett. What's his first name? Not Mike Garrett.
Oh, I'm thinking of the USC running back.
The head coach.
The head coach of the Cowboys.
He's a redhead. He's a ginger. It's Coach Garrett. But he talked about Tony Romo, Burlington's own. And here was Coach Garrett's comments about Tony Romo, who has now played his last game.
Jason Garrett.
Thank you. Jason Garrett talking about Tony Romo and Midwestern values.
I've described Tony Romo a lot of different ways through the years, but the thing that sticks out to me is he's Burlington, Wisconsin. That's what he is. He's Middle American values, brought up the right way, and I think we all saw that in how he handled that situation. And again, he was ready to play if called upon. I think he helped Dak in every way that he could, and that whole relationship helped our football team.
What do you think it is, Daryl, about Midwestern values different from the east or left coasts of this country?
Well, I think you can find pockets of people who would be to your liking wherever you go. But overall, there seems to be a more welcoming environment, a more accepting, more open, more loving, more kind environment of people in general. In the Midwest. And I don't know why that is. I mean, you know, I studied political economy at Berkeley, and in that's politics and economics and how things like that, history drives the political nature of systems, right? So I could lean on that, on those learnings, and come up with something probably having to do a little bit with religion, right? In how people are. But then again, I think it's just those salt of the earth values that I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper. I look out for other people. I want everyone to do well and to be successful. I think you encounter that a little bit more in the Midwest than you do in the places that I've lived and I've been. And like I said, you probably can find those types of people anywhere, and maybe they have roots in the Midwest, though.
That's right, and here's why, and I really believe this. It's because of these brutally awful winters. If you can endure this and go about your life and raise your family and have a modicum of a good attitude, you're probably going to be a little bit more patient human being, because everybody can relate to the misery of what's happening. Basically, we only have two seasons in Wisconsin. We have snow and no snow.
Right.
And if you're, you know, a spoiled Southern California kid that just complain, you know, I have six kids, and my second and fourth sons live in Oceanside in the San Diego.
Yeah.
And they were raised in Florida, but with Midwestern values, because Dawn and I are from
the Midwest.
And they just cannot believe the piss poor attitudes of people in Southern California. They just they don't know how lucky they are.
Yeah, I you know, as a Northern California kid and Southern California kid, there's some distinct differences. Northern California, in my opinion, is much more like the Midwest from a just an overall perspective, and that's when I was there. It's, you know, now with Google and all the stuff that's going on there in Silicon Valley, it may be different. In fact, I'm sure it is different. I just haven't lived through it to be able to speak to it directly, but. It's just easier to live here. It's just my wife is from Oregon. I convinced her to move here to be with me from Oregon. There's some things that are different and some things that are probably easier.
How did you guys meet?
We actually met in Southern California.
Oh, you did?
I was out there on business. She was down there traveling. We met. We struck up a conversation, and I did not want to have a long-distance relationship. But
I'm up against a heartbreak. What's your time frame? Because we haven't even talked about the game, and we've got to talk about some other things that are pressing on my mind. You got a few more minutes?
Sure.
Can hang out until after the news?
Absolutely.
All right. He's Darrell Ingram, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, the founder of VideoScore. You can go to the website videoscoresports.com. Very fascinating man, as we'll continue our community conversation on the other side.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
After WRJN covers the world, it's 10:01.
Hearings for a health secretary, former president hospitalized. I'm Evan Haining. Confirmation hearings for Donald Trump's cabinet picks continue on cabinet.
Coming weekend and early next week, flow is coming in from the Pacific. The air is blocked from coming anywhere from northwest Canada for a while. That could change late next week, but not till then. Today, a mixture of clouds and sun for the midday and afternoons. Low clouds this morning, high 42. Partly cloudy tonight, low 33. Tomorrow, clouds and sunshine, little rain in the afternoon, high 42. Then for Friday, maybe a little rain in the morning, shower in the afternoon, high temperature 42. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Muchas gracias, EA. Right now in Kenosha, it is cloudy and 34 degrees. Clouds and 36 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington. There is fog and 34 degrees at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN. Cloudy skies, 34 degrees. The wind is out of the southwest at 9 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index of 27 degrees. The dew point is freezing. The relative humidity, 92%, and the barometric pressure is steady eddy at 30.10. It is 10 minutes after 10 o'clock on your hump day morning. This is Glenn Klein. We are going to continue our community conversation with Racine native now, former Green Bay Packer and the founder of VideoScore, Darrell Ingram, coming up after a song dedicated to the former North California native. He was a resident. Grateful Dead, Dancing in the Streets, on your radio friend.
Bob Weir, the late, great Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead. On your radio, friend, they were dancing in the streets at 13 minutes after 10 o'clock on your hump day Wednesday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable package, Glenn Klein, and he is former Green Bay Packer tight end Daryl Ingram, also the founder of VideoScore. So how many of those cities that the Dead mentioned in that song did you play in, do you think?
I didn't keep track of what they mentioned, but probably most of the NFL cities.
Chicago.
Chicago, for sure.
Philadelphia.
New Orleans.
Yeah. And D.C. now. Yep. You play in D.C.?
I never played it in D.C., no.
Uh-huh. What do you think about the Redskins logo and the name?
I think we need to listen to the people who are if there's one person who's offended by it, I think they should change it.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And it's I understand Snyder's, you know, reluctance to do so. I understand the tradition it has for some of the fans, but things change. And I think if you know, a person is offended by it, certainly a group of people, then I think we should listen to them. I think that Florida State did it right. They went and asked permission.
But who would you ask for permission in Washington?
Well, that's sort of the thing,
and
right?
It's a pejorative.
That the reason that it is a pejorative is probably why it should not be the name of a team.
I had the perfect solution, because I am all about solutions and bringing people together. But it was before Tiger Woods had his issues, and they replace the Indian face on the Redskins helmet with Tiger Woods silhouette, and they changed the name. Instead of the Redskins, they're the Ameriskins. They still could be the Skins, because he's like the perfect blend of everything. Kablan Asian, Caucasian, Black, Asian, Native.
Yeah, I don't think he would vote for that. I think he might have some issues with that.
No, he would get a cut, of course.
No, he would get a royalty check.
He would get a royalty check every time a hat or a T-shirt would be sold. But that's somebody said they should just put a red spud. A potato, and they could still be the Redskins.
So the Stanford Cardinal,
yeah,
they were
the Indians.
The Indians. They changed in. Do you know when they changed?
I'm going to say 1980.
1972.
Ooh, that
that's
was
how
early.
Progressive that is, right? Yeah. My high school's mascot is the Indians, and they still are called the Indians.
A worse logo than the Redskins is the Cleveland Indians, Chief Wahoo.
Yeah.
That's bad. That is like an Uncle Tom-ish caricature of a native.
But that's and I agree with you, Glenn. But we still have to ask the people who are truly offended by it what their point of view is, and then we go with that, right?
I'm offended by it.
Yeah, but you're not a Native American.
How do you know?
Well, you're not a redskin.
I'm a member of a tribe. It just happens to be the Hebrew
it's
tribe.
It's a different tribe, right?
It's a different tribe.
No, point well taken. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, I think if it is offensive to anybody, I think we need to listen to those people and listen to why it's offensive, and not put our values on a name that describes them and their ancestry. That's what I think.
This community conversation on WRJN with Daryl Ingram is being brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living. This is Glenn Klein. It is 17 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. So of all the places that you've lived and competed in and traveled to, why do you end up, not just in the Midwest, but in Racine, Wisconsin?
Well, the reason I am in Racine, Wisconsin is because I have a young son who is 9, he'll be 10 in March, and his grandmother lives here. Mm. And so when he was conceived, his grandmother expressed an extreme desire to be part of his upbringing. And I was living in Milwaukee at the time. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have a woman who his grandmother, who loves him as much as I do, take care of him while I'm working, while me and his mother are working. Yeah, no brainer, move to Racine. So I moved to Racine, and he was at his grandmother's house this morning prior to going to school. That he has a very strong relationship with his grandmother, and I'm overjoyed that he does. It's a fantastic thing.
What is your son's name?
His name is Cole.
Cole Ingram.
Cole Henry Ingram.
Cole Henry Ingram. That is a great name.
I think so, too.
Now starting at quarterback.
now starting at quarterback prior to his gubernatorial run for the state of Wisconsin, Cole Henry Ingram.
Number 22, Cole Ingram.
Number eight,
Cole Ingram. What does Cole Ingram call his grandma?
Grammy.
I have a very good friend of mine, a longtime boyhood friend, who now has two grandsons, and they call him Bad Papa.
Bad Papa.
They've got a good papa, and they have a bad papa. And if you knew my friend, Dr. Steve Arkin, who was the reason that I moved from Wisconsin to Tampa, Bad Papa.
You would agree, Bad Papa fits.
Perfect acronym or perfect nickname for the Bad Papa, Dr. Arkin. What a nutcase he is. Good man, though. Good man. Darrell Ingram is a good man. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We're talking with him on this community conversation brought to you by St. Monica Senior Living. When someone you care about needs a little bit of help, maybe it's time to look into assisted living at St. Monica's. For over 45 years, St. Monica Senior Living has been providing compassionate, person-centered care for their residents on North Green Bay Road in Racine. St. Monica's really is like home with great food and a loving staff. Lots of activities to participate in, too. One of the things people love about St. Monica's is the beautiful chapel, where a Catholic Mass is held every day. They also host Protestant services, and all religious denominations are welcome. The move to assisted living is a big decision. Come see why St. Monica's is the right choice for so many. Give them a call for a tour today, 262-639-5050, or visit them online at stmonicasseniorliving.com. St. Monica's Senior Living on North Green Bay Road in Racine, where you are the heart of their home. So Cole plays football. Cole Ingram, 9 years old. No concerns about head injuries from his former NFL player dad?
Well, he plays football, soccer, and baseball. No concerns yet because we're playing flag football, which is what I did when I was young. And I'm his coach, and I believe that there's a lot you can teach about the game of football without the hitting aspect of it. And that eventually to go on to play beyond the junior leagues in high school, you're going to have to play tackle at some point in time. But I felt, why do that to a six-year-old? Like, and my parents felt the same way. Why in the world would we have to worry about a helmet and shoulder pads when they don't even understand the game yet? So at some point in time, if my son wants to continue playing football, he will obviously go to pads, but that's probably 5-6 years off in the future. In the meantime, I want to teach him how to play the game correctly, and I want his body to develop so he can obviously be able to absorb some of that hitting that goes on when kids get older.
Any residual effects from your career with head trauma?
I don't think so yet. I mean, you know, you can maybe ask my wife if I have any. She might have a different opinion.
It's an easy go-to for us former football players, right?
Right.
Well, when I got knocked silly in 1974, I played both ways in high school, and I went up for a pass. I played fullback and linebacker, and I went out of the backfield for a pass, a little dump off, and I got hit from the bottom, and I got hit on the top, just sandwiched, mm-hmm. and I got clocked, and the ball went out of bounds, and I was in la-la land. And my coach grabbed me, Coach Persern, which I referenced earlier, he grabbed me, and he said, smell this. And he gave me a smelling salt, mm-hmm. a pneumonia mm-hmm. is what it was.
Ammonia.
And my brain just about exploded, and he threw me back into the game. The protocols for concussion are a little bit different now, aren't they?
They've changed. Well, even a concussion is different. But what you had back then, I would describe as a concussion, back then and now. But some of the hits that we've seen, what's fostered the concussion protocol as it is, were not concussions when I was playing. So, you know, they said, well, did you see stars? Well, yeah, pretty much every play. Every time I hit somebody, I saw that. Well, that would be considered a concussion now. So residual effects, I'm getting a second master's degree. I'm doing quite well in my second master's degree. So
where are you getting that from?
I'm going to Northwestern.
Wildcats.
Yeah.
So you're a Wildcat. I'm a
converted Golden Bear into a Wildcat, mm-hmm. and the Wildcats are able to teach the old bear a few new tricks, which is what I'm going there for. So I think I'm fine. But who's to say 15 years in the future? Who's to say, you know, 10 years in the future, what's going on? So that's what the concussion lawsuit and settlement was really all about. It's really an insurance policy for us that if something were to happen to us in the future, there's a recourse for us to be able to be taken care of, and also for our families to be able to reach out to that and have their loved one taken care of.
Of course, the Bears Super Bowl quarterback, Jim McMahon, has famously had a lot of brain trauma and a lot of post-traumatic stress and brain injury. And he says that, and he's doing much better now, he gets fluid released on a regular basis from his spinal column. Mm-hmm. And that releases the pressure on his brain. But he says the only relief that he gets is from medical marijuana. And a lot of NFL players smoke, obviously, and it still comes into the news every so often. What is your take? Should, given the pain that NFL players go through, should they allow medical marijuana to be part of the protocol? Because we know through science that it does relieve pain.
Yeah, and even prior to that, I mean, the stigma with marijuana, for the most part, is that it has been illegal, right? It's an illegal drug. It's an illegal substance. I think that it's probably no more damaging than alcohol would be. Probably less damaging.
Oh, it's definitely less damaging than
alcohol. I've never smoked marijuana. I've never smoked it. It's nothing that I ever thought I wanted to do or never needed to do. And believe it or not, going to Berkeley in the mid-80s, I still never smoked
that
marijuana.
That is hard to believe.
Yeah, yeah. But
I never smoked marijuana one time in Madison. A few more times than
in other places, right?
Yes, but no, just one time.
Yeah,
but no, it's absurd.
Yeah,
that these fine athletes who are putting their lives on the line for our entertainment aren't allowed to relieve themselves of the pain, but they can be shot up.
Yeah,
they can take all the painkillers and get addicted to the painkillers.
It's the stigma attached to it, and we probably could talk about that coming from a religious standpoint, some of the origins of those stigmas. But I think it's ridiculous that people can't use something that's natural as well. I think that they should be able to use that. But, you know, that's we have our so-called leadership and political atmosphere that dictates some of that. Again, I think religion is involved in that as well. But not just for the athletes. What about for the glaucoma patients?
What about the kids in this state that they try to pass the CBD oil during the last legislative session, and strictly because of the religious right, it got thwarted, and these kids, the only help they get from these seizures is from cannabinoids,
right.
from the CBD oil.
Right.
It's
right.
absurd.
Right.
So, well, we'll get everything figured out over time.
So the Declaration of Independence is written on what? On what kind of paper? Made from what?
Hemp, baby.
Hemp, that's right. So,
And George Washington grew hemp.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's absolutely insane. He is Darrell Ingram. He is a former tight end for your Green Bay Packers. You must have been pretty pumped with that throw and catch from number 12 on your roster, number one in our hearts, Aaron Rodgers, to the Packers tight end, Jaron Cook. That was an unbelievable throw and catch and amazing footwork to stay in bounds on that plays by Cook.
Yeah, and they say that they practice that, and I believe them, but that moment in time was fantastic. And as a former tight end, you know, I'm proud to see a tight end do so well. The interesting thing, excuse me, with the spread offense that's permeating college, tight end's kind of going away. And as a tight end, I don't like that. I think to have a running game and to be able to score in the red zone, you need a tight end. So I'm glad that the Packers, you know, they carry three tight ends.
How about Ty Montgomery going from wide receiver to running back?
Well, he was a running back before.
But still.
No, I mean.
Have you seen him without his pads on? That kid is ripped.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great, great athlete. And we talked about, you know, the being the best athlete and being the second best athlete, what positions they like you to play. Running back is one of them. You know, receiver is another one. You know, those guys have the ability to do a couple different things. And you see they have Randall Cobb in the backfield as well.
But there is no doubt the National Football League, if there was ever a doubt, is now officially a quarterback's league. They protect the quarterback. And look at the four quarterbacks that are left. Aaron Rodgers, Matty Ice, Matt Ryan for the Falcons.
Brady.
Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger. You got probably four Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Right.
playing for the championship and to go to the Super Bowl. So how are you feeling about the game on Sunday, Packers-Falcons?
I'm pulling for the Pack. I think it'll be a toss-up. I mean, you're two really good quarterbacks, two really good teams. I said the same thing about the Dallas game. There's the X's and the O's, and there's the ability to line up. But then there's just something special that a special player like Aaron Rodgers can bring to them that really is, I don't want to say otherworldly, but it's beyond just the X's and the O's, that he can inspire guys to do certain things. And
the confidence that he inspires when he's on, I mean, because you know that the Packers are always going to have a chance if they have a chance. And then Mason Crosby, he's turned it around. He's again. Yeah. And here's the other thing I noticed in the game in Dallas, and it is definitely going to be true at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. If you can quiet those fans, it takes the energy right out of the building. And those Atlanta fans, they're not good sports fans. Right. They don't know what to do. I mean, they love their Falcons, but that is a bad sports town, Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't know if I would categorize it that way. to be fair,
I just did.
But
they don't even sell out for playoff games.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think that's true. I mean,
I'm sure my cousin Zach, who's the sports director at the Channel 2 ABC affiliate in Atlanta, would agree with me.
Okay.
No, he wouldn't. Yeah, no, he loves Atlanta.
Yeah, the Hawks fans and the Braves fans.
They've lost two NHL teams.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, no. I'm looking forward to the game. I'd love to see the Packers go to the Super Bowl again, like everybody in Wisconsin would. It's just good for us. It's just good for us to for everybody to go to for everybody in Wisconsin to see their team go to the Super Bowl and to win another title. You know, for Title Town, appropriately named. That's a fantastic thing for all of us. My son, born and raised in Wisconsin to the ripe old age of 9, he is Wisconsin crazy. He loves his state. He loves being born here. He loves the Badgers. He loves the Admirals. He loves everything to do with sports in Wisconsin. So he's, of course, a Packer fan, and I've seen him cry when his team loses. Uh-huh. You know, he loves it here. So, just, I love football as a kid. I played football as a young adult. I got away from football when I retired. But having a young son love football the way that my son does, I love football again as a dad. It's a different experience, and it's a better experience. It's wonderful to see him.
It's the best thing to share, whatever you can share with your kids and your spouse. Melissa, a sports fan?
Melissa has become a sports fan, and what got her hooked into it is she participates in fantasy football, so she likes to beat me in fantasy football, and I hear about it for half of a week when I lose to her in fantasy football.
Well, it's her birthday today. We have no idea how old she is.
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
I have no idea.
That's a lie.
She's probably, I don't know, 23 or 24. I have no idea.
Stole right out of the crib, did you? Darrell Ingram is a former Green Bay Packer tight end. He is the founder of VideoScore. You can go to VideoScoreSports.com. It's an effort to take high school kids and place them in colleges where they normally would not be able to get to because they're not being noticed, and help them with scholarship.
Yeah, we create that exposure for kids who are not exposed and help them along their path. And our goal is to have every kid be able to trade their athletic and academic talent for a chance at a college education. That should be everybody's goal, but that's our goal.
This was great, bro. Thanks for doing this.
We'll
do it again. Go Packers. Happy birthday, Melissa. And this community conversation with Darrell Ingram has been brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living. This is Glenn Klein on the other side of another potentially award-winning newscast. From the great Top Carco, it'll be time to get over the hump with coach, speaker, author Rick Jones. Coming up on Your Radio Friend.
It's winter. Your diesel needs power service. Add diesel fuel supplement plus C10 boost in